When we update our Facebook status, the question that's asked is, what's on your mind? But experts warn that you shouldn't be fooled into thinking you can get away with saying anything that might be on your mind, especially if we're talking about court proceedings. A number of recent cases have emerged testing the relationship between the social media sites as Twitter and Facebook against the judicial system, which include the UK phone hacking scandal and the trial over the alleged murder of Queensland boy Daniel Morecambe. Online users are advised that posts on these sites now have the same onus upon them as the mass media, and that any published prejudice online will potentially endanger the course of justice. But how's the average internet user to know about such power that comes with their sentiments and the consequences they could ultimately face? The For the State's Dylan Barber spoke to Professor Mark Pearson from Bond University about some of these issues.
How seriously should we be taking this issue? I mean, how much damage can one tweet or Facebook post really do?
It's a very good question. And the contempt, sub judice contempt, as it's known, that is prejudicial publicity on a trial, it depends on a whole range of factors. And it's one thing to be what's known as a technical contempt, in other words, technically in breach of the law. It's quite another to actually be prosecuted for contempt. So it's another for a judge or a director of public prosecutions to bring an action against somebody. So they will only do that if they see a real and substantial risk of prejudice, or potential prejudice to a trial coming from a publication. So it's very unlikely that a lonely single tweet to somebody who only has a handful of followers would ever be prosecuted for sub judice contempt of court. However, we all know that things can take on momentum on the internet and with social media, and it could be they think they only have a few followers and it gets retweeted to many, many others, and the act of having done the sub judice publication in the first place, all of that would be taken into account. But we're dealing with social media, which is a whole new area of law, so we have yet to see what prosecutors and judges will actually do about that.
There's been a lot of talk about the law keeping up in the digital age, but judging by what you said, is the issue more that we as online users are failing to keep up with online etiquette and responsibility?
Well, the problem is most social media users do not appreciate that once they start using that medium, every one of them is a publisher. And for centuries, publishers have been coming to terms or been locking horns with the legal system over what publishers' rights are and navigating that, and often getting into trouble with things like sub judice contempt. And here you suddenly have rank amateurs jumping onto Facebook or Twitter and saying whatever they feel and basically venting over the Twitterverse, and they are likely in breach of many of these laws in the process.
Now, when the average user goes to write a Facebook post, the status field asks what's on your mind, and Twitter asks what's happening. Can the average online user really then be expected to know that simply sharing their thoughts is technically a publication in the eyes of the law?
At the moment, I would guess that they probably can't be expected to know that, but unfortunately, ignorance is no defence for a publisher. I would hope that in coming years there is much more public literacy about the risks of the use of social media in this way, and I think it's already happening in schools, and as that class of or that generation gets educated and becomes more literate and understands their responsibilities and risks, then we'll be dealing with more responsible tweeters and Facebook users. For the moment, though, it really is a bit of a standoff, and the ones who are most likely to suffer in the interim are the mainstream media, because they are the ones that are left high and dry because their hands are tied. They can't break these laws of contempt or the publication restrictions, other sorts of restrictions, the naming of sexual assault victims and so on. Whereas people seem to be willing to do that on Twitter or Facebook.
Now, before social media, a jury could, for example, be recruited from another state to ensure impartiality. But now online posts seem to, you know, easily cross boundaries of jurisdiction. Is social media then subverting Australia's state jurisdiction system?
Certainly, certainly. I mean, the state system, which is really an Australian system of federalism, you know, the federation of states, is really an early 20th century phenomenon. And it is not suited to this new era. It is hard enough for working journalists to get their head around the different state laws when they're publishing interstate. It used to be quite simple. A newspaper published to its own region, which was normally just within the one jurisdiction, and journalists and editors just needed to know those laws. Now the mainstream media are publishing on national networks. They're, they have websites, iPad versions and so on. And as well as that, there's thousands of millions of rank amateurs out there, overriding jurisdictional boundaries and breaking those sorts of laws left, right and centre. We've just seen it with the South Australian politician arrested on very serious sex charges, where there are publication restrictions in South Australia. But so the media there were again hogtied. They weren't able to publish the name of the individual who'd been charged, but it was all over Twitter and Facebook. We saw it in the UK just now with the super injunctions and a particular tweeter who had named himself or herself super injunction set out just to intentionally break all of these super injunctions. Now, if someone is being that brazen, they can expect that the prosecutors would chase them down.
Right, now we've established that many ordinary people might not know the damage that words can do, and arguably there isn't a solid precedent for online contempt of court. Do you think it will take someone being sued for online sub judice contempt before people start taking this issue seriously?
There have been several instances that have gone close with sub judice contempt. We've just had that conviction in the UK of a juror inappropriately friending the accused in a case. It wasn't sub judice contempt, but it was still a contempt court conviction to do with Facebook. So the courts aren't loath to do this. Yes, we will see more of these. So, I mean, the threat is certainly there, even though there aren't that many precedents at this stage.
I guess, finally, in an ever-changing environment where social media is making the news and publicity a discussion rather than a broadcast, what do you think needs to be done to manage social media's relationship with the judicial system?
Well, I'm not sure there's a great deal that can be done from the social media end. Like I said, we can, it's a longer or a medium-term project to better educate in our schools and university systems on the proper use of this technology. But for the courts, I think they need to focus on the fact that this sort of coverage is going to be out there, and judges need to be trained very well in instructing juries, and they need to implement that so that jurors are asked to put these things out of their minds. So the extent to that which that can happen, you quite rightly, you're questioning that. But I think it's probably exaggerating the thing to say that you will not get a just result if some renegade tweeters or Facebook users have broken the sub judice laws.
Bond University journalist professor, that was Mark Pearson speaking to Dylan Barber for the Fourth Estate.